tonight is Brother Brian Sykes from Harmony, North Carolina, pastor of Charity Bible Church there. I've known Brian, since the early 80s sometime, I suppose. And he's grown old gracefully with us. I appreciate him in the Lord very much. He's always preaches the cross, preaches the gospel. I appreciate that from him or anybody. And more than I can say, because that's what it's all about. And like Brother Moore likes to tell people, you preach for an hour and you don't preach the cross, you just wasted our time. Because what matters? Brother Brian, come and preach for us.
All right, if you will, turn with me to the book of Job. I was reminded of a guy who was looking for a pulpit. A committee was looking for a preacher, and they liked this old guy. He got up and said, turn to the book of Job. So I'm going to read out of Job. And also I want you to get Proverbs. I've enjoyed the preaching. I enjoy the comments that Brother Jack and the work that y'all have put into it. I enjoy the fellowship and the singing, man, it's been great. Every message has thrilled my heart. If you're here lost and you don't get saved, it's your own fault. God did everything he could do. Today is the day of salvation. And this is the time that God said in 2 Corinthians 6, I have succored thee. That word is given aid. God has aided you in every way he could so that you trust his Son as your Savior. And I want to talk to you tonight about salvation, and I want to talk to you about your condition. Now, everybody in this building and everybody in the world is trusting in something. You're trusting in your goodness, or you're trusting in what the Lord did for you on the cross. You say, well, what about an atheist? He's banking on his belief that there is no God. He's trusting that there is nobody to face. Everybody's trusting something. What are you trusting? Or better yet, who are you trusting? Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. When did you ever commit your eternal salvation, your destiny, to the Lord Jesus Christ? It's got to be somewhere in your life. You just didn't wake up saved. You just didn't decide, I'm saved. Somewhere, sometime, someplace, you as a sinner trusted and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I haven't got a title. Well, let me serve you notice right now, you're lost. Now, you see how foolish it is. Every man in this building that's married, you can't tell me you don't remember when you got married. Now, you might forget the anniversary, but you know the day. And it wasn't, and it's like Robbie and Brother Steve, it was an event. It's something that takes place. It's something that happens. You know, I use the phrase, you know, you're not going to stick your finger in that light socket and say, I'm now being shot. I mean, you know, it's just that way. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it happens, it's done. I want you to look in Job. Now, Job 25. I want you to hear what this Bildad says. One of Job's buddies, shortest man in the Bible. That's right. Verse 1, then answered Bildad, the Shuhite. He's Shuhite. He's the shortest man in the Bible. Said, come down with me, and I just jumped down to verse 4. How then can a man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Look back in chapter 14, in Job chapter 14. In Job chapter 14, notice what in Job's doing the talking here. He said in verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. I couldn't. Verse 4. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. He's talking about being born of a woman. There, you have a mother and a daddy that was unclean. Guess what? You're unclean. Straight from the womb. You say, well, I don't, you have their nature. But he asked the question, how can a man be justified with God? What can I, as a sinner, offer to a holy and righteous God to gain His favor? How can I, as someone that is unclean, approach a holy God that can't even look upon sin? What could I offer Him that would cause Him to have favor toward me and would accept me the way I am? I have nothing to bring before the Lord. You don't have anything to bring before the Lord, and you're dirty, and everything you touch, you soil, you contaminate, you dirty it up, you mess it up. Why do you think the Lord put the flaming cherubs in the garden to guard against the tree of life? You know, man is so filthy today, if God would have left that tree of life down there, they'd been camping out around it, making an idol, and throwing the beer cans and cigarette ducts and all around it and everything, and would have fouled up everything and lived like that for the rest of their, for eternity. Everything man does, he messes it up. And you're no different. I'm no different. Notice something about it. Jesus Christ asked that crowd over there in John chapter 8 that thought they was righteous. And he said, which of you can convince me of sin? He never sinned. He didn't have a nature of a man. There was no gal found in his mouth. He was born of a virgin. He never had a bad thought. He never had a bad day as far as a sinful day. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. I mean, he lived the perfect life. Sin's a transgression of the law. He never broke the law. He that doeth good doeth it not, to him is sin. He never done that. He lived a perfect, holy, righteous life. Now you put your life up against the Son of God and see how clean you are. Now, I mean, just think about it. You're a sinner. You're a sinner from birth. You're a sinner by choice. And you need a Savior. Now, I want you to look at what you think of yourself. Mankind. Look in Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Now I'll get to the message, and y'all just hang on. There ain't no games going on with Duke and Carolina and who the other player. Look in Proverbs chapter 16. Notice in verse 2. All the ways of a man are what? In spite of what you tell them. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. But the Lord weigheth the spirit. Look in chapter 21. In Proverbs chapter 21. They're not only clean, but look what he said. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. Man sees himself clean. Man sees himself right. Man can't see how dirty he is. Man can't understand if, well, I'm as good as that people goes down there. Well, I'd be better than that crowd that goes over there at that assembly. Well, I don't do this. I don't do that. Well, you just know ungodly sinner just like everybody else. Your problem is you haven't seen yourself like God sees you.
Amen.
You're dirty. You're unclean. Now notice this thing, your real condition. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. Man's dirty, but man thinks he's clean. My mama, I'd go try to, she'd grab your ears. And she knew every little crack, cranny, where dirt might hide, and she'd struggle in behind and just about take your hide plumb off. And you always wanted to clean behind your ears, wash behind your ears, because she's going to jerk that ear out and look. You couldn't get by. You ain't going to get by the Lord either. You're dirty. Now look what he says in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 verse 6. Here's your condition. In Romans chapter 5 verse 6, for when we were yet without, what? Strength. Weak. Do you know you're a weak? You're not only just dirty, but you're weak. You don't have the strength to save yourself. You don't have the power to save yourself. You're weak. But look what he said. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the good churchmen. That right, no. Brother Percy? Oh.
You got the wrong book,
he's going to track. Look what he said. Died for the ungodly. I was talking to a lady one time and I asked her, I said, how long have you been when you get saved? She said, young man, I'll have you know there ain't been a day of my life that I haven't been a Christian. And I was just young, and I just said, well, you've been too long, been one too long. Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. Somewhere you had to see yourself ungodly. You won't see yourself without the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. I've had people say, well, I don't feel convicted. If you ever see yourself lost, you ever see yourself ungodly, you ever see yourself unclean before the Lord, that's not you showing yourself that. That is the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. You can't see yourself wrong. You can't see yourself dirty before God unless He shows you that. No matter how hard I'm talking about Brother Moore up there, when he first, I met, he told about it, he said, I could get up here and set myself on fire. And people still, until the Lord shows you that. I was saved in a hotel room, Spruce Pine, North Carolina. They tore the hotel down. I go by there every time I go by, I think about it. Well, I was saved about 11 o'clock on a Friday night in a hotel room. Let me tell you something about before I got saved. I was raised in church. I went to church 3 times a week. I went on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They'd have revivals 7 nights. I went. I didn't get up on Sunday morning and ask my dad, are we going to church today? I knew I was going to church on a Sunday morning. I knew I was going back on Sunday night. I knew I was going on Wednesday night. And I was raised in that kind of an environment. I remember at 16 years old, I'm standing back there in the crowd, and the preacher begins to preach. And he stopped, and people, and they're coming up. I didn't know nothing about no altar, and they just come. I remember that preacher walking back to me and grabbing my arm. I was 16 years old, and he said, Brad, are you saved? I said, no, sir. I knew I was not saved. He said, well, why don't you come up? And he's tugging on my arm and give your heart to the Lord. And he's pulling me. I look up. I see my mama looking at me. I knew, but if I stand here, I got to explain to her why I didn't go up there to the front. I'll go up to the front. And so I went up there with it. They all gathered around me. They're praying all over me. I mean, they're just there. I mean, it's amazing what everybody's praying. And I thought, you know, I'm standing down there and I'm not saying a word. I'm just letting them pray about me, and I'm thinking, am I really that bad? I did that. Do you accept Christ? Well, you know, what am I going to say? No. So I said, yeah. And he said, well, do you need to be baptized? And, well, I didn't know that. Oh, I mean, I got baptized. I've been baptized 5 times. I've been in the creek, the river, the pond, the baptistry, running water, still water, cold water, hot water. I mean, if he got it, I had it. Lost. Don't you understand? Lost. Religion. When I was 19 years old in that hotel room, I jumped my religion right there. For the first time in my life, I seen myself lost and going to hell, and I was afraid. And I was scared. And I didn't know nothing like what I know now. I don't know much now, but I certainly didn't know nothing then. But I came to the Lord. I got down on my knees. I didn't know nothing. I came to it the best I could. But I want to tell you something. He knew I didn't know nothing. But you know something? He knew that when He died for me. What is grace, man? That's Him saving you. And in spite of Him knowing you wasn't going to be no good after He saved you, and He saved you anyway. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for that. Amen. I didn't live it to get it, can't live it to keep it, and I wouldn't know what to do with it if I could. It's in His hand. Ungodly. But look down in verse 8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He dies for the ungodly. He dies for those that are weak and cannot save themselves. He dies for sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners.
Amen.
What is a sinner? Somebody that's lost. But you know something? The day that we live in, there's hope. He died for him, and he's looking at verse 10. I got to move on for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Now thank God your condition, you are a sinner. The only way you're not a sinner is you have been born of a woman. If you hadn't been born of a woman in here, I'd assume you keep that to yourself. I don't want to shake your hand. I don't want you touching me. Anybody's born of a woman's unclean, even though they see themselves clean, even though they see themselves righteous, even though they see themselves as good people. Look back in chapter 3 of Romans. In chapter 3. The Bible says in verse 10, as it is written, there is... Now you know what that word none means in the Greek? The Greek, it means... You know what that means? That's zero. None. There is none righteous. And the Holy Spirit knew they'd be some dummies, and so he said, no, not one. That's just in case that one said, well, he can't be talking about, but no, not one. You included. Then he goes on, he says, there's none that understand it. There's none that understand it. Listen, folks, you got to have the Spirit of God dealing with you before you. You just don't say, well, I think I'll wait until March the 20th. I'm going to get saved. You don't understand. There is none that seeketh after God. I sought God at an old-fashioned altar. No, he didn't. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. And there it is again. The Lord knew what you'd say. He's not talking about me. No, not one. None good. I'm no good. You're no good. There was only one. A young man came up to the Lord and said, good master. And the Lord said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. He's trying to get that man to recognize that he's talking to God.
Amen.
He's talking to God Almighty. Jesus Christ, the creator of heaven and earth. On this world come down in here, took upon him the form of a servant, and became obedient. He humbled himself. He didn't make a reputation of himself. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Why? You need a Savior. You are weak. You're unclean. You can't save yourself. You don't have no goodness. Your righteousness is nothing but filthy rags in his sight. You have nothing to bring to him. I need a sacrifice. Oh, I need the blood. Offering. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. my blood. I could shed my blood, but my blood is no good. My blood is rotten, it stinks. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I can't get to where God is because my blood is something wrong with it. God Almighty says, I'll do it. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Call reference to God. He says, he that spared not his own son, but what? Delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Folks, how can a man be justified with God? By the cross. Like, there's the altar. There's the sacrifice. There's where God Almighty in AD 33 paid for your sins. Died as a man. The Old Testament, the 12, they looked at the death of Christ as a lamb back there. The lamb didn't die for your sins. A man died for your sins. The man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, that he testified in due time. And Paul said, where am I? I'm appointed a preacher, a teacher. Paul was given the gospel of the grace of God. Paul was given the gospel that God Almighty came down in a human body, prepared for him in flesh, took upon him the form of a servant, and took your place, and paid, took your death, and for your sins, and died for your sins. Never sin you'll ever be. How could a man be justified by to God? By the cross. At the cross, there's total forgiveness. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. I thank God for the cross. Paul said, I glory in the cross. For the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that is baptized. There's, you know, that verse, that version pops up again. To everyone that believeth. Your sins is not the problem. Your unbelief is the problem.
Amen.
In Ephesians chapter 1, notice what he says there in verse 7. Ephesians 1, 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Look in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, notice in verse 14. Colossians 1, 14. Colossians 1:14, knows what, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. You'll find also, turn over and look at chapter 2. In chapter 2, in verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with you, with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. I died with it. Hey, I couldn't get quickened with it if I didn't die with it. He died on the cross. He's buried 3 days and 3 nights. He comes up. And folks, when he comes up, I came up with it. I died on the cross with it. I was buried with it. And I rose with it. And I'm seated with him right now in heavenly places. I'm to say I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to.
Amen.
I'm going to heaven whether I want to or not. one old woman said one time, not, she wasn't that old, but she said, well, she, you know how some ladies are, they, you know, but anyway, not, the men's just bad, and I'm fixing to get myself in trouble. I'm trying to dig myself out of it like that. But anyway, she said one time, she said, well, I certainly hope I see you in heaven. I said, lady, it ain't going to be up to me. It's up to you. I'm going to be there. How about you? One old guy was talking about the mark of the beast. He's talking about the mark of the beast. I said, well, I'll ask you something. I said, would you take it? I said, just suppose. He said, well, I don't think we'll be here. I said, you don't think? Or you don't know? Well, let's suppose that you end up here. You going to take it? Well, I said, come on, do you believe in eternal security? Oh, yeah, I believe it. Well, let's suppose the church is here. You going to take it? Well, if I take it, as some bad going to happen. I said, I thought you believed in eternal security. I said, heck, Paul, you probably carry around the marketplace now. People just, they don't even study, they don't even believe this book. I'm saved. I'm in Christ. And I'll tell you something else. That's a position. Notice this thing about it. We have total forgiveness. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Total forgiveness. I don't have to get down and do 1 John 1:9. I don't have to confess my sin. I know it says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Bless your heart. I'm cleansed from all unrighteousness. But whether I confess them or not, they're all gone. Why do I want to drag them before God? He's done all that He told me. He forgave them. Now, come on, you believe your sins are forgiven?
Amen.
Is it a lack of faith if you get down in the Lord every night? I've got to confess my sin. Why? Well, I might die. Well, what's that got to do with it? If Jesus Christ said they was forgiven, then why don't you believe it?
Well, I don't want to believe it.
Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice what he says there in verse 42. And I was studying along this, and I want you to think of it. Notice in verse 42, he said, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Now hang on there and compare something with me. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I wish I had the word as code. Got bad nerves. I'm sweating here. I am sweating though. Well, look what he said. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and notice what he's in verse 21. For he, reference to God, God the Father, for he hath made him, the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Notice he said, for he, God, hath made him to be sin. Verse 42, it is sown into corruption. I believe you can talk about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ from verse 42 down through the passage. Now watch the thing. He said it's sown in corruption. The Bible said that God made him to be sin for us. And Jesus Christ took our sin and is called the body of the sins of the flesh. And he was circumcised on that cross. The Spirit of God took the Word of God and cut him from us, circumcised him spiritually from that body of sin. Your sin, not his, for whatever sin that you'll ever commit. Say, well, I got some future work. I mean, his brother Percy said he's got some he don't even know about. He don't have any the Lord didn't know about. And I tell you, Jesus Christ became whatever you are. Jesus Christ became sin on that cross. You see, the religious system out here, they want you to take the tree and they want you to pluck the fruit off the tree. And they think that that's getting rid of the tree. They want you to take, hey folks, you can go out here to an apple tree and you can pluck every apple off that tree. What are you doing there? Taking these apples off this tree. I'm cleaning this tree up. I'm going to get rid of this tree. And you think that's going to do it? It's just going to keep producing apples. That's the way your old nature is. That thing in religion wants you to clean up the fruit. They don't want you to do something with the fruit. Well, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ did something with the tree.
Amen. Amen.